Well, the time is at 10 a.m. I'm going to call the meeting to order. This is the Least Cost Review Board, and we can start with the introductions. When you get to introduce yourself, say your name and the agency you're with. I'll start with myself, and then we'll go that way. I'm Connie Castillo. I'm the Least Cost Review Board Clerk, and I am with the Department of Administration.
I'm Gary Coley. I'm a Business Support Services Administrator at Arizona Department of Child Safety.
William Boyd, I'm the Deputy Director of the Arizona Department of Forestry and Fire Management.
I'm Marcus Wilson, the Facility Administrator for the Department of Economic Security.
Kimberly Kumara, Chairperson of the Board, and I'm with the Arizona Department of Administration.
Ben Norris, I'm with the Arizona Attorney General's Office. I'm not a member of the Board, but I'm the Attorney for the Board.
Perfect. And then we have a couple of guests. We have former Chair Member overseeing us.
Nola Barnes, Department of Administration General Services Division.
Chris Corney with Jones Lang LaSalle as State's Contracted Leasing Broker.
On the team with Vicki Robinson, JLL. You have a team of brokers there supporting you. Chris and I are here representing the team today.
Perfect. Okay, so now I'm just going to go ahead and hand over the meeting to the chairperson, Kim.
The first item is disclosures of any conflicts of interest. I do not, we've not seen that there are any, but now would be the time to disclose of any.
Gary, no, Mr. Boyd, Mr. Wilson?
No.
Okay.
No.
No, I do not have any conflicts or apparent conflicts.
Perfect.
Okay, so we'll move on to our agenda for consideration, discussion, and possible action. And we may vote to go into executive session on any of these items. So item number one, presentation of current market conditions by the state's tenant representative, Jones Lang LaSalle.
Okay. Do you need me to go to a certain
tab? Well, tab, would you rather do it online or through the books?
Yeah, we can talk through it.
If anyone else is, unless someone else is on,
no, we don't have anybody else.
So I think the books might be easier
Than
scrolling through the 2,000 pages online. But what I would maybe start with is the second tab, Phoenix Office Q1 report. And this is JLL's internal research. This is for Q1 data of 2024, so the most recent data of this year. And the takeaway is that the Phoenix office market is 105 million square feet. The total vacancy rate, which includes sublease space, is 25.9%. So the market is fairly soft when it comes to office leasing. That being said, direct asking rates are actually up from the previous year. And the average, when you calculate all asset classes, A, B, and C product, office in Phoenix Metro is $29.87. So it's a pretty hefty average asking rate on a direct basis. Most of our transactions, I would say, for headquarters and admin space for the state are along our Central Avenue corridor. That market is 9.2 million square feet. And that total vacancy rate is just over 27%, at 27.1%. And the average asking rate for Midtown office space on a direct basis, direct with the owner, is $26.12 per foot. And that's full service gross basis. Typical escalations on rent are between 3 and 3.5% annually. And as it relates to state leasing, those numbers are all private sector comps. And what that means is those numbers include operating costs, janitorial, utilities, but they do not include rental taxes, which are right now 2.9% in the city of Phoenix. And they do not include parking charges. So typical office tenants, non-governmental, pay for parking in addition to their base rents. Non-governmental tenants also pay that 2.9% occupancy tax in addition to their base rents. And also they pay operating expense pass-throughs above a base year for their OPEX in addition to base rent. And so what that means is these numbers, as it relates to our analysis, are actually going to be quite a bit higher than the, let's just say, $30 a foot on average for Phoenix Metro. The reason being is our leases are inclusive of those costs. And so, for example, parking in Midtown is about $3 a foot if you were to strip it out. The 2.9% rental tax, you know, adds 50 to 70 cents depending on your lease rate. And the operating expense pass-throughs, depending on how long your lease term is, could be, you know, 50 cents, 75 cents a year when you get on the back end of your lease. What I would typically say right now for mid-rise product is that the operating expenses are right around $12 a foot. And we're seeing between 3 and 4% escalations on that base number. So when you get into, you know, year two or three, a typical tenant would pay, you know, year one, they probably have a 25 cent pass through. Year two, it's probably 50 cents, and it just continues to grow over a term. Our leases include that cost. So the landlords and our leases have a negative rate of return actually in the later years, unless they have escalations in the lease. And at that point, most of our leases are also flat. So for that reason, you know, the state has leverage in negotiating leases because of the volume, the size of the deals, and how much we do. And when you talk about Midtown specifically, landlords are really willing to provide concessions to us because of the soft market. You know, a 30% vacancy rate in Midtown is not very healthy from the landlord perspective. So they're willing to do it. But as it relates to lease costs going forward, we want to be mindful that these owners are baking in a lot of expenses that they're really not being reimbursed for on the later end of the lease because of the increased operating costs that were baked in on a flat, typically a flat lease.
Are you all familiar with what those operating costs are when we refer to that?
Yeah, that's the janitorial, that's the utilities, that's the common area maintenance in these older buildings. I mean, it can be pretty substantial. The biggest chunk of that is the common area maintenance and the property taxes, which are typically going up. I mean, we've not seen any base expenses go down in quite some time.
Right, that's why I wanted to mention that property taxes and the owner's insurance on the building itself. So those property taxes going up. And so again, that's why we're seeing those numbers being higher than they've been in the past.
As it relates to tenant improvement cost, I mean, we've seen an exponential increase in cost since our last review board. A typical build out pre-COVID was probably $50 to $60 a foot. You could build out space from a vanilla shell condition for that amount. Right now, we're seeing that cost closer to $100 a foot. And so what it means for us is that has impacted the rental rates. And it's also impacted landlord ability to do deals. In many of the tertiary markets, specifically where we have, you know, service offices, clients are, you know, where they have to be in a certain zip code because there's a need there. Primarily smaller owners, not as well capitalized, and because of that, some of them just simply can't do the deals. Or they're requiring longer lease terms and or higher rental rates to back into their number that makes sense for them. Vicki, are you seeing anything? Because I know you do quite a bit of work in the tertiary markets for the states. What are you seeing as far as landlord ability and concern in doing deals?
You know, probably the biggest concern is that termination provision that's in the lease and the ability you can terminate without paying a penalty if you terminate before that lease expiration date and you don't have to pay back the unamortized TIs. So that, as to Chris's point, you know, the cost of TIs, the labor and the materials continue to go up. So when they look at that and we're doing a five-year deal, if this were a non-state lessee tenant, they would have that opportunity. If you terminated after year three, there would be a penalty and they could recoup some of their cost. When we terminate, we give 60 days notice, and there is no penalty paid. So that's one of those extra hesitations on the landlord side.
That being said, the market's still soft, and landlords really want us.
A good credit tenant, they love
it.
Yeah. You know,
so
they...
it's not all bad. From our perspective, the worst thing right now is just the cost of TIs. If we're doing deals in as-is condition, finding second-generation spaces that work well, that's always our goal, is to keep your cost low. We can do deals that are very aggressive. The challenge is when there's specialized requirements, you know, certain agencies require a build-out that is specific to them, and you can't go find a second-generation space that you put carpet and paint in and you say this works. Those are very challenging, and they're requiring higher rates or longer lease terms for landlords to amortize that cost into the deal. So it just depends. You know, what I would tell you on Central Avenue right now, especially as it relates to just general admin space, landlords are very aggressive. We're doing deals still, you know, between $20 and $22 a foot flat for 5 or 7 years, depending on, you know, what work is required. The deals requiring full build-outs are considerably more expensive. And I would say the tertiary markets, Flagstaff, is a really tight market. There's just not a lot of product. Tucson, to some extent, has a supply issue of nice space. And those deals, on average, I mean, we're seeing, you know, mid-20s as starting proposals. And for that reason, we believe that having a budget to support the tertiary markets would be a good starting point, and a budget to support deals requiring TI. And in our minds, and Vicki and I and Pat discussed this for hours, actually quite often, every time we do a rental rate justification letter, we say maybe, you know, if we were able to justify a $25 a foot or $26 a foot number, that would give us as the contracted broker room to do deals and get the improvements that you need included. We always want to be more aggressive than not. And so for that reason, you know, if we can tell landlords, hey, you know, our max budget is $25, for example, sometimes that helps us leverage your pricing lower. We can just say, hey, refer to the statute. It's $25 and we can't go above that. We've been successful in using that as leverage in certain deals. Our recommendation is a $25 a foot full service number, which includes, again, the parking cost, all the common area cost, you know, no pass-through expenses, and rental taxes as well. And so that's where we would recommend for the next 2 years to start or to think about. And again, you know, each deal is specific, so there's a lot of factors at play, and where the market is and what your needs are, tenant improvements and lease term, but we think that's a really compelling starting point for those reasons.
You know, Chris brings up a good point. When we look at the different markets, you know, that's a we feel very good about recommending that number to you. We've documented it and researched it. But when we get in these other markets, and Bill, you know from the work we've done, like let's take Flagstaff. As Chris was sharing, your vacancy rates here in Metro Phoenix, 25-26%. We get to Flagstaff, vacancy rate is below 3%, 2.7. And there hasn't been any new delivery of any office or warehouse space or flex space. So that market is tight, and they know they can ask a premium. And as soon as the tenant says, I'm not going to be renewing that lease, and there's going to be a suite becoming available, there'll be five people lined up. So we've got that competition, and they don't have the termination clause and things like that. So some of the starting rates for just very average office administrative space, I mean, we're looking at $30 a square foot up in Flagstaff.
In even markets like Yuma, Sierra Vista, you know,
Pine Top,
it's all the same issue where there's, you know, very limited supply. There's not a ton of demand, which is probably why there's no supply either. But you're competing against, you know, a local insurance company or whatever law firm, and we do bake a lot of costs into the lease. And I think what's also more, what's maybe equally important in those smaller markets is the access to contractors for those improvements. You know, they might have one guy who works, you know, 2 days a week. Or they're driving from Phoenix.
Right.
Which is even worse because then they're just paying, you know, Wilmington Construction a 20%
impacts the, yeah,
you know, overtime fee or whatever it is. And then your average TI cost is probably 30-40% higher than it would be in a core market here.
That's one of the things we're facing right now in Wickenburg is because that landlord can't find anyone in Wickenburg to do the TIs. And it's not an extensive, complicated TI, but there isn't anyone there in Wickenburg. All the contractors that have bid on this are going to have to drive from Phoenix, and it's impacted it's impacted our overall economics.
And I would say size of the lease also plays a big factor in where we end up in rates. You know, I would say anything over 20,000 feet, you have quite a bit of leverage. But most of the deals, I would say maybe 75% are under. And for that reason, you don't have economies of scale in building out. And there's just a lot more demand in the marketplace right now for users under 20,000 feet. And that's just a result of a new normal post-COVID of office work. What we've noticed in the marketplace is that the big back office call center market is essential. It's non-existent right now. We're only, JLL and all of the other peer real estate firms, we're only tracking two active deals over 100,000 feet in Phoenix Metro for office. And so the demand isn't there from the big user, but the smaller local firms and just regional offices, you know, under 20,000 feet, maybe they, you know, what we've seen is a flight to quality, meaning they're, instead of 100,000 feet, they're 20 or they're 10, and they're going to highly amenitized spaces. And so if you're competing in that 10,000 foot range for, you know, decent space, there's competition. And before, you weren't seeing those as competition because they were looking for much larger chunks of space. Any questions? I know that was a lot.
Thank you.
No, that was... I just have one question, and that's just maybe for the board's purposes or all our purposes. If you could explain maybe the transition from the, I guess, former terminology of Class A, B, and C space to the
stars.
The stars.
Yes.
Just so we can have that for posterity's sake.
Yes. So
it's sometimes difficult for others to understand that transition.
So CoStar uses a different methodology and building class on their website. And I think part of that is because they had a proprietary system in place and they didn't want to copy what the big brokerage houses were doing. They wanted to say, hey, we're you know, there's no infringement here, we're gonna make our own class. And they also did it too as a marketing piece where they would market to building owners and say, hey, if you paid us, you know, a monthly fee, we can get your building to the top and kind of make it look, you know, they made more stars, for example. So it's five stars, there's five classes of buildings on CoStar. We have A, B, and C. The problem is with the five-star methodology, you know, what's the difference between a four and a five-star? I don't know, other than that maybe somebody pays for the fifth star. Yeah, so in our package, and what you'll see on the first two tabs is the JLL research, it's less segmented. So what I would say is if you're trying to compare apples to apples, Class A building on our research would be four or five stars. So a Class B building, which most of the state I would say is generally in Class B product, think Central Avenue, nice buildings, but they're 30 years old, you know, and they're mid-20s rental rates, That's class B in our research. And in CoStar research, that's a two to three star. And everything else on CoStar is class C below that. So it's the same thing. It's just a different way of presenting the information. So hopefully that
yes,
helps.
Yes, thank you.
Yep. And what's very interesting in our marketplace in Phoenix Metro is the average deal size is about 14,000 feet. And that is probably on average about the state deal size on average. When you think about the big admin deals, being sometimes as large as 100,000 feet plus, to the small tertiary market deals, which can be as low as 500 square feet. And we do those all the time.
We do.
I would say the average deal size in the marketplace is pretty similar to our average deal size too, which is a lot smaller than it used to be at only 14,000 feet. I mean, that's not a huge office when you think about all the big corporate users in Arizona. That's the average deal velocity right now.
Okay. You guys have any questions over here? Anybody? Any questions? No. Kim?
All right. We'll move on to consider and approve our average square foot cost for rentable square feet for fiscal year 25 and 26 for the leasing of private sector office space. And so as you saw in your material, going through our data, which completely mirrors that of what JLL presented, that because right now of the leases we approved in fiscal year 23 and 24, almost 25% of them were over our 2293
mm-hmm.
for the newer leases we've entered into. And we've remained relatively flat since 2019, Noah?
Yes.
2019 was last. And everything did stay pretty flat during the pandemic, but as things recover, as the brokers pointed out, it's not just the rent, it's the cost of doing anything to any space, and no one wants a floor of space anymore, so everyone's going to need some level of TI to wall off or separate into whatever their little 10,000, 8,000,
yeah.
12,000 niche that they're going to need, and the construction costs have gone crazy, as we know, just in the state doing our own facilities. So the recommendation would be to go to a $25 rate for the next three fiscal years.
And that does give some wiggle room in negotiating for certain deals where escalations are required. Because what we're also seeing in the marketplace today is that landlords are very concerned about out of control operating expense increases. And there's just not a lot, some of it's not in their control. They can control some of the maintenance, deferred maintenance, janitorial costs to some extent, things like that. But insurance, taxes,
utilities,
they pay it. And whatever it goes up to the next year, and we have a 7-year lease that's flat, they have to pay it still. And so for that reason, we are seeing quite a few owners go back to the normal market concept of escalations.
Annual escalations.
Yes,
yeah.
Annual escalations. And in many cases, we are successful in keeping the leases flat, but that's becoming more of a challenge. And I think if we have room up to 25, let's just say, for example, you get a landlord who starts us at 23, but you have to factor in those increases over the 5-year or 7-year term. And we still want you to be on the right side of the equation in the last year of your lease. And so for that reason, it's another consideration.
So open for discussion or comments?
I think the only thing I would add is that DOA has been pretty flexible when we have the kind of one-off situations where we have to exceed that average.
And we would continue to take that into account with the justification we understand.
And Marcus and I have been working well together the last couple of years, and a lot of your leases, Marcus, are in tertiary markets.
Yeah.
And you're the biggest, nicest building in town, which is good for a lot of reasons. But in those markets, there's no relocation option.
Yeah.
And so because the landlords have felt that their net income has dwindled over the last 5 or 7 year lease, that they're making up for it on the renewal proposals, and they're being more than cautious, probably more than they were so the first time, on what their next 5 or 7 years needs to look like. And again, when you're in a market with very limited leverage in relocating, it can be tough. And a lot of those leases were built to suits as well, where to replicate a building of similar design and quality and specific to the user is, in many cases right now, not even financeable. So even if you had a great user and you have a 10-year term approved, let's say, for example, you may not even find a lender willing to do it, or a landlord willing to take the risk. So to Marcus's point, yes, that's a big consideration too, having some flexibility in a market where there's no options.
Somebody want to move? Make a motion.
Okay, so Kim, are you?
I move that the 2024 Lease Cost Review Board adopt a... I propose that the 2024 Lease Cost Review Board adopt a fiscal year 25 and fiscal year 26 rate of $25 a rentable square feet for agency budgeting purposes for private sector leasing.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Or did we need a second first? I'll second.
Right.
I'll second her motion for the board to adopt the $25 average for FY 25 and 26.
Now you vote.
Oh, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
Opposed?
None?
This legislature always said.
Motion granted. Approved?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. And then the third item is to consider and approve our report that will be sent out to JCCR, to the Joint Committee on Capital Review. That will include our write-up material, as well as the leases approved in fiscal year 23 and 24, and those that exceeded the past rate for fiscal year 23 and 24. Do we vote on our letter?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. So, I move to approve the report to the Joint Committee on Capital Review that lists all leases ADOA approved in fiscal years 23 and 24 and that exceeded the average square foot dollar cost estimated for fiscal year 23 and 24.
I will second your motion to approve that report, showing the leases that were approved for FY 23 and 24 by ADOA and the list of ones that exceeded the average cost per square foot for FY 23 and 24.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion granted. All right.
There were no nays.
There are no nays.
Okay.
No nays. In their no executive session, call to the public.
We don't have any public.
No public.
Well, kind of.
I move to adjourn the 2024 Lease Cost Review Board.
Okay, you don't have to move.
Oh, I don't move. I just adjourn. Adjourn.
meeting is now adjourned.
Meeting is now adjourned.
Okay. Even when it's clear that it's unanimous, you should ask for all those opposed.
All righty, guys. We are done with this meeting. I hope that